You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Robin is a Swedish singer and songwriter. Her first album came out in 1995, when she was just 16 years old. It went platinum in the US and double platinum in Sweden. Since then, she's been nominated for 5 Grammys and started her own record label. But there was an 8-year gap between Robin's album Body Talk, which came out in 2010, and her most recent album, Honey, which came out last October. Time, Rolling Stone, and Pitchfork all named Honey one of the best albums of 2018. For Song Exploder, Robin breaks down the song Honey, the title track from the album. The first time the public heard the song was in a 2017 episode of the HBO show Girls, but that's not the final version that was eventually released on the album. In this episode, Robin traces the long history of how she made Honey, a song that the New York Times called her masterpiece.
My name is Robin. Me and Marcus, who's in my band, we had a sound check and he had brought this little Casio synthesizer that I was messing around with. I don't know if you've heard those little Casios, but they sound amazing. They sound like video games. And so he showed me this thing where you could hold 2 buttons and there was something wrong with that particular Casio, so that when you held these 2 buttons, it would glitch so that you could like separate the bass line out of these pre-recorded little beats that were in the synthesizer. And I did that with a waltz beat. It sounds really cool just on its own. It sounds like this. It's not an even bass line because it's a waltz. And something about that just felt really groovy to me. I always love when music does that, when it does something unexpected and changes the way you think about rhythm. And then I just kept that beat. We recorded it and I kept it and we started making songs with it. Me and Marcus just tried different things and I didn't feel like it was exactly what I wanted it to be and I just kept it. And this was like maybe 2013, maybe. And then when I started writing again for this album in like 2015, maybe, I brought the beat out again. I was looking for like new ways to sing rhythmically because I was feeling kind of claustrophobic coming out of the music I had done before. Like, I mean, I love the music. That wasn't the problem. It was more like rhythmically, I wanted to like feel freer. I guess that was what I was working out during those months when I was in the studio by myself, just to, like rewire my own way of relating to rhythm. So I was in my studio in my house in the basement of the building where I live in Stockholm and I was trying like lots of different sounds and rhythms, freestyling on this beat. And I did for like 2 months or something. I would do it as an exercise because I knew there was a song in there, but it was almost like I was breaking it down, like trying to disintegrate or like maybe get to the core of something. And then I remember one day I just found my way into a melody that felt much more natural than anything I had written on it before, which was but down in the deep, the honey is sweeter. When I was writing this song, I think the feeling that I was going for was to find like some kind of healing for myself, a place where I could calm myself down. And that felt really good when I sang it. So I kept it, I recorded it and I kept it. And then I took it with me to the studio where I was writing with Klaus when I started writing together with other people. Klaus is my longtime collaborator. He's almost like the second member of the band Robin, the person that I've made music with more than anyone in the last 10 years. I knew I was going to work with him for this album, but it took a while until I was ready to collaborate again. It was really exciting to collaborate on something that I had already put together. It gave me a lot of freedom to kind of describe my ideas in this more like protected way. Yeah, so me and Klaus, we wrote the chorus together.
No, you're not gonna get what you need. But baby, I have what you want. Come get your honey.
and we wrote the words for the verse together as well. I knew that I wanted the verse to be this abstract description of a feeling.
Every color and every taste, every breath it whispers your name, is like a rose on the pavement.
It's not me saying I feel sad and happy at the same time, and I feel hot and I want to have sex with you. It's not that, is, you know, it's like I wanted to feel free, but also I wanted the person listening to the music to find that own space where they could like associate more freely about pleasure, sensuality, peace of mind, those kind of things.
Can you open up to the pleasure, suck it up inside like a treasure, let the brightest place be your passion? Let go of your doubt, say yes, let it soak up into the flesh, never had this kind of nutrition.
And then this whole other process started where we started working on the production. And me and Klaus made a version of Honey that was used in the last episode of Girls, the TV series. Because basically Lena Dunham asked me for music and I sent her these demos and she wanted to use Honey.
Bed's getting cold.
Every color and every shade, all the swirly patterns they make, it's like emeralds on the pavement.
And I was really happy that she wanted to use it, but I also knew that it was not finished. And so I went back to the demo and I started arranging it again with, you know, the song already written with me in class, and went back and I took out his production and I started working on that. And then I asked Joseph Mount to come in and work on the production. He has a band called Metronomy that is one of my favorite bands. And I've listened to his music for a long time. And I got in touch with him, see if he wanted to work with me. And we spent a week or so in the studio very early on. And he started playing around with these strings. And he kind of stripped a lot of other things away as well. So he kept the vocal and the Casio. Joseph is so sparse and minimalist in a way.
No, you're not gonna get what you need. Baby, have what you want. Come get your honey.
And that for a long time was like gonna be the finished version. And then Joseph changed his mind. He was like, I don't think this is what we should do. And then we went back into the studio together, me and Joseph and Klaus. Basically, Joseph took all the things that we had done, the strings and the chords from Marcus, all the things that we had done, and he created this sample that we started calling the sauce. We used this filter, this really fun but stupid house filter, and he kind of made like this underwater feeling, you know, of all those things. I think we wanted it to feel like you're underwater, but then you look down and you're like, there's thousands of meters down to the bottom of the sea, you know, this feeling of like something opening underneath. But I felt like, you know, the sauce was amazing, but it's so undefined. And so I just wanted there to be more hints of like the actual chord structure. We just needed more melody. We needed like a hook in there. This like really simple melody that leaves a lot of space and like a lot up to the imagination. I was really inspired by all this dance music that I've grown up listening to, basically music made for clubs. And that kind of music, it doesn't really have a beginning and an end and a, you know, a chorus and a normal song structure the way a lot of pop music does. It relates to the dramaturgy of a song in a totally different way. I think that's what dance music is about putting you in a place where you're in your body dancing without thinking about when it's gonna end. That it's like more about the moment and how it makes you feel. So the demo that I made doesn't sound like the thing we released that much at all. But there's a rhythm in the bass line that's still there. That has a little bit of that first Casio. The Casio goes da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So we kind of kept that kind of thing. And the other one that's more like an arpeggio was a way to create this like galloping rhythm together with the kick drum. And it's kind of nice with the bass line as well. I think on this record, I started to sing in a different way than I had done before. I didn't want it to feel pushed or pressured in any way. I wanted it to just feel relaxed and soft. And I started singing differently and I started like discovering new kind of things that I could do when I just relaxed.
And the sun sits on the water, but down in the deep, the current is stronger.
So me and Klaus recorded the vocals for this song like 3 times. You know, I thought I had relaxed as much as I should have. And then I kind of took it even 1 step further and I relaxed even more. And I was like, wow, it's sounding even better. And then we did it a 3rd time because I knew that like, oh, I can take this even further. It was really interesting, I think, to discover that a lot of times it's not about pushing harder. It's about going softer.
And the waves are coming and they're golden, but down in the deep, the honey is sweeter.
When I listen to the song, even though I've heard it so many times and sung it so many times, the line that still gets me is the line, but down in the deep, the honey is sweeter, because there's something about that that talks about, for me at least, like how when you kind of face yourself, or if you, you know, dig deep into yourself, there's like a sweetness that comes with that digging or the depth or the pain sometimes of like going deep into things. Not saying that it's a reward, because, you know, when you go through difficult things in life, like you don't always feel like it makes sense or that it's necessary or that you want to do it. But I think when I was writing this song, I was coming out of something that had been quite painful, and I knew that I had learned things from that and that I had maybe also been able to kind of come closer to something that felt like me, something that felt honest. I think anyone who has gone through difficult things maybe can understand what I mean. And so the singing also was a part of like the healing process for me.
No, you're not gonna get what you need, but baby, you have what you want. Come get your honey.
When it was time to mix, I had this idea that I wanted to give the mix to Philippe Zadar.
Philippe Zadar was one half of the hugely influential French dance duo, Cassius, and a Grammy-winning mixer and producer.
Because I just felt like this song needs to be mixed as a club track. And Philippe is and was known for doing these amazing tape delay takes where he would put the vocals through a tape delay. And that's what you can hear there in the mix. I think it's the first time in my life that I got a mix back that was good from the first time I heard it.
No, you're not gonna
I remember just getting stuck on the word honey. I don't know why I was so obsessed with that word. I thought it was funny that it meant honey, the way you call your lover, and this weird kind of interesting but a little bit disgusting substance that bees make.
Is there an image in your head of who the song is being sung to?
Yeah.
Is it a specific person?
Mm-hmm.
Does that person know that you were thinking of them?
Mm-hmm. I think the intention of honey is like really good. Something I feel really happy about, you know? Happy that I found a space and that I explored it. I think my perspective on it has changed like several times, you know, but that's how it should be, I think. I still think that it's a healing song. And I also think that when Philippe Zadar, who mixed the song, died a month ago, that also changed it for me. Like right now, the song is like very, very emotional again because he's not here anymore. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to change again, you know? It's like, that's how it works with music. And I think the experience of making this song, you know, all the way from me, like, starting these early demos with Marcus and then on my own and then spending all this time writing it and really trying to define this feeling and then working with Joseph and Klaus and, like, redoing the vocals and the production, like, letting it really take the time it needed to get where I wanted it to be was really amazing. I'm really happy that I was able to follow that through the whole way. Just being able to record this freedom that I felt that the song was trying to describe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now, here's Honey by Robin in its entirety.
Coming in the cold.
Visit songexploder.net for more information about Robin, her music, and her collaborators on Honey. You'll also find a link to buy or stream this song. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This message comes from Apple Card. Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City Branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Song Exploder is made by me, Hrishikesh Hirway, along with producer Christian Kunz. Sitting in for me as guest host this year has been Tao Nguyen. She'll be back next episode. Carlos Lerma is our illustrator, and Nick Song is our production assistant. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated collective of independent, creative podcasts. You can learn about all our shows at radiotopia.fm. You can also find Song Exploder on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Song Exploder. My name is Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest. And then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.